And today is the mid-Ramadan, Ramadan 15th, the anniversary of the birthday of the second Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mushtaba, alayhi salatu wassalam. So congratulations to all of you, to all the followers of the Prophet and his family, on the anniversary of the birth of the grandson of the Prophet and the first son and the first child of the blessed marriage of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra alayhim as-salam, who was born on 15th of Ramadan on the third year of the Hijrah. And this Imam was known for his generosity and kindness, Kareemu Ahlul Bayt. He's the most generous. Whenever someone comes to him, he would not return empty-handed. Whenever he sees someone in the streets, people who are of need, he would rush to help them, support them, feed them, take care of them. And also he was very forgiving of his enemies. You know, the propaganda machine was very active during that time against the Prophet and his family. And the propaganda machine was by a takfiri leader at that time by the name of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the leader of ISIS and all those murderers and thugs. This, you know, gang leader Muawiyah, who some people admire him as Caliph, as they admire Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi today as Caliph, same story. He had a huge propaganda machine who spreads lies and fabrications against the Prophet and his family. And they, especially in Syria, because Muawiyah had captured Syria and he was ruling that country. So he would portray Ahlul Bayt as being very bad. So a person comes from Syria all the way to Medina. He comes with a mission. He comes specifically to slander the Imam and curse him. So he asked about the Imam. They said to him, you will see him soon in the street. So he saw the Imam coming in the street. They said to him, this is what you are looking for, Imam al-Hasan. He came, he stood in his face, and he started slandering him and cursing his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. When he finished, the answer was a smile from the Imam. The Imam smiled. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامُ. When ignorance addressed them, they say peace to them. So his answer was peace. And then he said to him, Ya Shaykh. Oh, Shaykh means an old man. He was an old man. Ya Shaykh, أَحْسَبُكَ غَرِيبًا. I think you are a stranger in this city. فَإِن كُنْتَ جَائِعًا أَشْبَعْنَاكَ. If you are hungry, we would feed you. وَإِن كُنْتَ عُرْيَانًا كَسَوْنَاكَ. If you are naked, we would clothe you. وَإِن كُنْتَ مُحْتَاجًا أَغْنَيْنَاكَ. If you are in need for money, we will pay for you. أَوْ طَرِيدًا آوَيْنَاكَ. Or if you don't have a shelter tonight in this city, we would shelter you. The man looked at Imam. He could not believe. He's cursing him. And the Imam is saying, we are ready to shelter you, to feed you, to take care of you. He said, Allahu Akbar حَيْثُ Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Only God knows who to choose for his mission, for his risala, for his message in this life. I came from Damascus while you and your father Ali were the most hated in my eyes. Now I am going to leave Medina, going back to Damascus, while you and Father Ali are the most beloved to me and my heart. This is the character of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. Nothing but love and kindness, and according to the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Prophet Muhammad was mercy. Definitely his family is going to be mercy. The family of the Prophet, they never depart from their grandfather, from their leader. They are on the same path of mercy and tolerance and forgiveness. And they said to him, why everyone that comes to you is not rejected? Whoever comes to you asking for need, you give him. You don't even investigate. You don't even ask whether they are genuine or not. He says, I do not know how to reject someone who is sa'il, who comes with an inquiry. Because I am myself sa'il. I am a beggar to my Lord. I am a beggar. Inni lillahi ta'ala, inni lillahi sa'ilun wa fihi raghib. Before my Lord, I am begging for his mercy, for his compassion, for his forgiveness, for his blessings. Therefore, I cannot reject someone who comes and stretches his hand or her hand to ask for help. One day, a maid who used to be a slave, she presented him with flowers. When she presented him with simple flowers, he freed her for the sake of God. He released her. They said to him, this is too much. The flower does not worth more than, let's say, a couple of dirham, let's say a couple of dollars in today's money. He said, yes, but the Quran teaches us, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ رَدُّهَا. When someone greets you with the greetings, then return that greeting with something either equal or better. And better means, in this condition, it means that I have to free her for the sake of God. Our imams were the embodiments of generosity and kindness. And we must follow the same path. We must learn generosity and sharing and caring with those who do not have. And we have a lot of people in our community and other communities who do not have. Who do not have. The joy of this life is when you bring a smile to those who are suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be the true students of Ahlul Bayt, of Imam Hassan, his father, his grandfather, his noble mother, Fatima al-Zahra, and his noble brother, Al-Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam. Dua, the supplication of the 15th day of Ramadan, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as it has been narrated by Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم ارزقني فيه طاعة الخاشعين واشرح فيه صدري بإنابة المخبتين بأمانك يا أمان الخائفين. Oh Allah, enable me, bless me today on the 15th of Ramadan to obey you the obedience of those who love you, and expand my chest, open my heart, بِإِنَابَةِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, with those who come to you with submission and humility. بِأَمَانِكَ يَا أَمَانَ الْخَائِفِينَ, with your amnesty that you provide for those who are in a state of fear. The essence and the core of faith and religion and servitude is obedience. When you obey God, this is the essence of religion. Now, when you trust someone in this life, when you trust a human being, you put your trust in him or her, they become trustworthy in your eyes. when you trust them, number one. And after the trust becomes love. Definitely those that you trust, you're going to like them, you're going to love them. These two components, when you have these two components, one, trust, second, love, definitely you're going to obey that person. You're going to obey that person. And obedience is the sign of real love. When you love someone truly and genuinely, you're going to obey that person. And this is exactly what this book says, the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran says, قُلْ O Muhammad, say to your community, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ If you claim that you love God, then follow God, obey God. Because there is no love without obedience. That love, which is not followed by obedience, is not full love. It's not genuine love. It's not a true love. The true love has to be followed by obedience. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من تواضع قلبه لله لم يسأم بدنه من طاعة الله. Whoever submits himself to God, submission, his body is not going to be tired of God's obedience. Some people ask this question. They come to someone who does prayers, lots of prayers. They tell him, you don't get tired? You don't get tired of praying? You don't get tired of fasting? The answer, if that person loves God, truly loves God, and he submits to him, no, he's not tired. He's not tired. And we do this to human beings in our life. Do you see some wives, how they serve their families? 24 hours, like a machine. Some of them 24 hours. Some of them 12 hours, and some of them, alhamdulillah, 0 hours. Nothing. They ask the husband to serve, but she doesn't serve. And the same thing with fathers and husbands. Some of them serve their families 24 hours, some of them 12 hours, and some of them minus 12 hours. We have all kinds of people, believe me. This society around you, you see all kinds of people in this society. You see those who are very, very, very selfless. Very selfless. And you see the opposite too. So, the one who submits himself to God and loves God does not get tired of serving God. Those who do not know God, they don't have good relationship with God. They don't recognize God. When they do 2 units of prayers, they get tired. 2 units, believe me. Oh, it's tiring. It's burden on me. Because they don't know God. They don't have good relationship with God. So, when you love God, you work 24 hours to serve God. To serve Him. At home, outside home, when you are by yourself, when you are with others, when you travel, when you are in the company of people, always you try to serve God because you are in love with God. And God says the essence of servitude to me is obedience. Do not argue with me. If you trust me, if you trust God, and if you love Him, then don't argue. Don't argue. The spirit of religion is submission. It's like when someone goes to the military, he joins the military. Can he argue with his commanders every day? They tell him, listen, this is a military. You have to listen, you have to submit. These are the rules of military. Otherwise, if you want to argue with your commander, you cannot be in the military. We have to submit to God and never argue with Him. Submit, since we trust Him. Now, some people do not trust God. That's a different story. If they don't trust Him, definitely they are not going to submit to Him. Therefore, God says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey God, obey His apostle, and obey those of authority among you. Who are those of authority? If you go to Saudi Arabia, they tell you those of authority is King Salman and his son Muhammad ibn Salman and the royal family. They are ulil amr, so you have to submit to them. You have to tell them yes sir, and you don't argue with them. If you go to ISIS, ISIS tells you ulil amr is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, His Highness Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the Caliph, who is hiding underground. He is ulil amr. He is the one of authority, so we have to submit to him blindly. If you go to this country and that country, each country would tell you our leader, the monarch, the sultan, the king, the president, the prime minister is ulil amr. Are they right or wrong? Can someone from Al Saud be of ulil amr, people of authority, who speak on behalf of God? They cannot. Because Allah says the people of hellfire are not equal with the people of paradise. And Al Saud are the people of the hellfire, Jahannam. They cannot speak on behalf of God. Because they are corrupt. A family which is completely corrupt. Not only corrupt within Saudi Arabia, they spread their corruption in every corner in the world today through their radicalism, their version of Islam, which is based on blood, on murder. You saw the example of that in Orlando. You saw the example of that in San Bernardino, in Paris. You see the example of that every day in Baghdad, in Damascus, in other countries. So they cannot represent God. I tell you who they represent. They represent Satan. They are the agents of Shaytan, Satan. So when the Quran says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ, Allah, you know God. Allah is God. Rasul, Prophet Muhammad. أُولِي الْأَمْرِ are Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those that God chose to lead the nations, to lead the earth with justice and fairness and forgiveness after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are ulil amr, not al-Saud, not the corrupt dictators and the terrorists. They do not represent God. So, the Prophet says, if you want to reach God, how do you reach him? Today, if you want to reach a president, you have to know someone who knows the president. Especially in the Middle East. Especially in the Middle East. If you want to reach a Middle Eastern president, you have to know his aunt, the aunt of the president, Ammash or Khalesh, or his cousin, or his second cousin, third cousin, fourth cousin. You can get to the president through nepotism and favoritism. But God does not know nepotism or favoritism. God has no family ties. God has no cousin. How do we then reach to him? What is the wasita? What is the mediator between me and God? God says the mediator is your good deeds. It's your obedience. Your obedience. You don't need to call someone to bring me someone. Bring your amal. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. You don't have to bring me a letter of recommendation of this or that. Do good, you get close to me. I open my doors for you. I open my doors. I don't have any relatives who are close to me and someone who is not close to me. All people become close to me when they obey. If they choose to disobey, they distance themselves from me. Because sin takes you farther away from God. While hasana, good deeds, gets you closer to God. This is the way. There is no other way. Ta'atillah. Innahu, the Prophet said, verily, innahu la yudraku ma inda Allah. You cannot obtain what God has there for you unless you obey Him. Illa bi ta'atillah. Now, sometimes the obedience of God conflicts with the obedience of people around us. Sometimes the wife, she wants to do something good, obeying God. Her husband does not allow her to do good, forbids her, deters her from doing good. Sometimes your friend has an influence on you. You want to do good, you want to serve God. A friend of you influences you in a bad way that does not allow you to serve God. Sometimes a neighbor, sometimes a father, a mother, they will not allow you to do good. Do not listen to them. The hadith says, "Man ata'a al-khaliqa," whoever obeys God, "lam yubali bi sakhat al-makhluq." After that, once you obey God, you would never care about what people are going to say about you, whether they're going to be happy or unhappy with you. If someone gets angry at you because you are following God, do not listen to that person. Don't listen. Don't listen, because God is first and people are second. God is first. Who is the closest one to us? Who's the closest one to you? Huh? In this life here on earth, people, among people, who is the closest? Your father and your mother are the closest. Okay? Those, your husband is very close, your wife is very close, but maybe one day, maybe you're going to divorce your husband. He becomes a stranger, but your mother cannot be a stranger to you. Today I was seeing a documentary on Sky News, the Arabic version, of someone who joined ISIS from France. He's very young, French, originally from Portugal, and his family came, lived in France, and he joined ISIS. And they show him on several clips, he kills, he destroys, he burned his French passport in the fire. Then they traced his roots to France, the team who were doing this investigation, they found his mother is a Christian, Catholic Christian. So they made an interview with her. She said, "I know my son joined ISIS and he's a terrorist, but I cannot hate him because he's my son." Can you imagine? She knows he's bad, he's terrorist. But she says, "Because he's my son, I cannot hate him. He's my son. He's my biological son. I cannot give up on my son." So your mother is the closest one to you. Your father is the closest one to you. God says, those who are close to you, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمْ. If those who are closest one to you, one day they struggle with you to divert you from me, my path, from obeying me, do not listen to them. However, be good to them. Do not insult them, but don't listen to them. Don't listen to them, don't obey them, but keep a good company with them. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِعًا فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not listen to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا. Say to them, beautiful. Speak to them, beautiful. So nothing is above God. God is above all. God is the true father, the true leader, the true friend, the true companion, and the true sweetheart. We don't listen to people. Do not be afraid of people. People are not the source of your sustenance. People are not the one who are feeding you. The one who is feeding you through people is God. And God says, if you fear me, if you respect me, I can find you a solution. Don't fear people. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب.
And sometimes people fear the Sultan, especially those dictators in the Middle East. They listen to them. They don't listen to God. They fear them. The Prophet says, من أرضى سلطانا, whoever tries to satisfy a dictator, بما يسخط الله خرج عن دين الله. If you satisfy a dictator with what is going to make God angry, you are going to leave God's path and God's way and God's religion.
Don't try to satisfy a dictator because you are afraid of him. Say the truth. Quran teaches us, wherever you live on earth, you have to speak the truth. Do not kiss up to this government, to this tyrant, to this leader. Be free. Be free. Speak the truth. We are the student of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, they came to him, they said, Yazid, you know Yazid, that crazy. Just do bay'ah, symbolic allegiance to him. He said, neither symbolic nor real. Yazid is corrupt. Someone like me, the grandson of the Prophet, I would not put my hand in the hand of Yazid. No matter what it takes. And he gave his life. And we are continuing his path. So we have to learn from him. We have to learn. The Prophet ﷺ says, O Lord, in this day, irzuqni fih, bestow on me the ability to obey you as it should be. The obedience of those who submit to you, of those who are devotees. Khushu' ta'at al-khashi'in. What is khushu', my friend? In Arabic, we have khushu', we have khashya, and we have khawf. But they are not exactly the same. Khawf is fear. Khashya is reverence. Therefore, those, the scholars, the knowledgeable who know God, who know what God does for the humanity, who know the significance of God, who know the position of God, who know the creatures of God, who know the position of God in this universe, who know what God does for the humanity, the humans and others, they would revere Him, not fear Him. Thus the Quran says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Only the scholars, they revere God. فقط اونهایی که دانشمند هستن و عالمن از خدا میترسن چون قدر خدا رو میدونن و اون ترس چیه؟ نترسی که بچه از پدر و مادر میترسه یا ما از پلیس میترسیم. نه، ما همه از پلیس میترسیم. کسی هست به پلیس احترام میذاره؟ هیچ کس، باور کنید هیچ کس پلیس دوست نداره، ولی میترسیم از پلیس. خدا میگه من همچین ترس دوست ندارم، من میخوام منو دوست داشته باشی. دوست داشتن آمیخته با ترس. باید من دوست داشته باشی. So خشیه my friends. خشیه is when you know God. When you know His significance. When you know His greatness, you revere Him. But those who do not know God, they only fear Him. Are you with me? A slave fears the master. Fears them, because master is about punishment. Those who do not know God, they think God is the God of revenge and punishment, while He's not. He's the God, the Lord of mercy and forgiveness. This is the difference between khashya and khawf. Khashya is for the scholars. Innama yakhsha Allah. Innama yakhsha Allah. مفعول به الله من عباده العلماء علماء فاعل. Only the scholars they fear God. And this is what Allah says in the Quran. سيذكر سورة الأعلى سيذكر من يخشى. Only those who revere God, they're going to be reminded. Those who do not revere Him, they are not going to be reminded. سيذكر من يخشى. And then Allah says,
الذين هم في صلاتهم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. خاشعون humility before God. You enjoy the prayers. If you don't have the spirit of humility when you stand before God, you would not enjoy the prayers. You would not understand the prayers. And the prayers would not be effective in your life. It would not be fruitful. It would be fruitless. The obedience of God is the essence of faith. I conclude with this story very quickly. A young man who was nurtured in a good family by a good father, good mother. So when he was very young, he fell in love with God. He used to do all his worshiping on time. He would do the fasting. Whatever money he gets, he pays it for charity. He would do good to his parents. He would never even disobey his parents. And he used to go in his village to worship in the local mosque in his village. The 5 daily prayers, he will go to the mosque. One day he woke up to prepare himself for Salatul Fajr, the morning prayers, early morning prayers. It was still dark, but it was raining that day. So he got dressed and he did his wudu. On his way to the masjid, he fell in a pit, which was full of mud. So his dress got dirty and he could not continue his journey to the masjid. So he had to go back home to change. He went back home, he changed. He came again. The roads were very slippery, very muddy. Again, it was raining hard. Again, because of darkness, he fell in another pit. And then he said, no, I'm going to go to the masjid. I have to go. Even if I catch the last unit of prayers, I will go. He went back home. He cleaned himself. He got dressed. As he was leaving his house second time, a man came with a lantern, fanus, light. You know, in the old days, I remember in my childhood, we went to a village in Syria today, in one of these villages now that are seized by ISIS, Al-Zahra, northern Aleppo. My father took us there. They did not have lights. We had to go to the masjid with lantern, with fanus. They call it fanus in Arabic. You know these lights? They put a candle inside. And so someone came to him, a man came to him, old man. He said, listen, I'm going to take you to the mosque. Don't worry about it. He said, thank you so much. Thank you. May Allah bless you, reward you. So they walked until he reached the mosque. When the young man came inside the mosque, the old man stayed outside. He said to him, come inside. He said, no, I don't come inside. I don't pray. He said, why don't you pray? He said, I'm Iblis, I'm Shaytan. Shaytan? Sometimes Shaytan is incarnated in the shape of human beings. And sometimes they speak to prophets, to messengers, to apostles. They become like, they take a human shape sometimes. He said to him, I am Shaytan. The reason why I brought you to the mosque is an important reason. Because I don't want you to corrupt my work. First time when you fell in the pit and you went back home to change and you were determined to go to the mosque, God has forgiven all your sins. All your sins. Yes. Second time when you came out and you fell in the pit and you decided you must go to the mosque and this would not deter you from going, you were insisting on obeying God, and you went back home, God has forgiven your family's sin. Your parents who are still in bed, snoring in bed, God has forgiven their sins. I decided that if you're going to fall again in the pit, God, and you go back home to change and go to the mosque, and the third time, God would forgive the sins of the entire village. And that does not work for me. That destroys my business. So I make sure to bring you there safe, so God does not corrupt my business, my work. I want people to remain corrupt. I don't want God to forgive them. When you insist on obedience, the price is forgiveness. when you insist, when you stand before ma'asiyah, before the sin, and you tell the sin, no, I know you are delicious, I know you are tempting, I know you are attractive, but God is more attractive. I don't want to betray my friend. My friend, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. He's watching me. He's following me. I can't betray him. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. Thursday, inshallah, the first night of Qadr. So be prepared. Thursday night, we're going to commemorate also the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So the first night is Thursday, second night is Saturday, and third night is Monday, inshallah. Ta'ala. وعجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.